And welcome to A Book A Day podcast. This is your host Deepak Rana, and I'm back with another interesting book this time. Remember previously, we were discussing biblical narratives, where I narrated some of the most fascinating stories from the Bible. Now this time, moving on from Christianity to Hinduism, I've got one of the most profound and sacred texts when it comes to Hindu philosophy and spirituality, the Bhagavad Gita. And no, I'm not going to narrate or discuss the original text here. I've got a wonderful book which I think would be more suited for the modern readers. It's written by Vandana R. Singh. It's called The Bhagavad Gita with a subtitle, A Life-Changing Conversation. And those of you who follow me on kalampedia.org, you might have read my essay on the same, where I talk about the two kind of Gitas that you'll find in the bookstores. The one kind are the original translations, the original text, and the other kind of books are those where the authors are extracting certain life lessons from the Bhagavad Gita and applying them in the modern life. And I talk about the challenge that I find in these two versions. The first one, the original text, can be a little too difficult to read, a little too challenging to interpret. And on the other hand, the other interpretations or the commentaries which talk about modern lessons, there you find that the original essence, that is missing. And sometimes they drift too far away from the original message. And that's where I found this book really helpful, because it follows the exact narrative of the Bhagavad Gita. It presents the same structure. There are 18 chapters divided into different segments, different yogas. But it presents its commentary in such a way that makes it easy to understand. The author contextualizes and gives examples in such a way that you are able to understand the message, as we shall see in this episode and probably in the next few episodes also. As this is such a vast book, it's going to take a few episodes. I don't think I can cover it in one or two episodes. So stay with me and let's explore the Bhagavad Gita together with Vandana R. Singh's book. And by the way, before I begin, you can also check out Vandana's podcast. It's called Gita Talks by Vandana R. Singh. And if you really want to get into the heart of the Bhagavad Gita, really want to understand each and every part of it, then I think that particular podcast will be of great help. In this one, in this series here, I'm going to restrict myself to the book and my understanding of it. But if you really want to get into the heart of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, I would suggest you to check out that podcast. Now, coming back to the book. As you know, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story, the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is the great Indian epic where you find this battle of Kurukshetra, where the two branches of the family, the Pandavas on the one side and the Kauravas on the other. And in that battle, just before the battle begins, you find Krishna, Lord Krishna, giving lessons to Arjuna, who is a great warrior of his time, but he is unable to participate in that battle because when he sees his own family members out there, he gets confused. He is really hesitant to go there and fight and kill his own family members. And in that point, we see Krishna delivering some of the most profound lessons on life. And the conversation that begins with such a specific context in the context of war, it broadens and expands in such a way that it becomes a part of the universal message, the spiritual message that we now know as the Bhagavad Gita. And if you just look at the setting itself, before we go into the teachings, before we focus on what Krishna said, just look at the situation. There's Arjuna in the battlefield, and he's supposed to do his duty. He's supposed to do something. But there is a great inner conflict. There is confusion, there is rage, there is annoyance. And that's something I find relatable. In fact, I'm sure most of you will also feel that way. That when it comes to certain actions in our lives, we find that confusion. We're not sure whether to go ahead with a task or not. Even if we know that it's quite important, it's what we are supposed to do. But we just don't feel like doing it. And this inner turmoil is the source of all confusion that's there in our lives. And I think that's a good starting point if you want to read the Bhagavad Gita. This simple understanding that there is something wrong inside. There is something, some confusion inside. And we want to correct that course. That's where the Bhagavad Gita invites you. And this is something the author also suggests, that you should read it when you are ready for it. So this is what we find in the first chapter, all the troubles and struggles of Arjuna. And we see this narrative from his point of view. And so far Krishna hasn't said anything. He's just remaining silent. And when we go to the second chapter, that's when Krishna begins to speak. And when Krishna speaks, right from the first verse that he says, you find he's getting to the heart of the problem that each one of us faces, the spiritual problem. Because if you think about it, all the life confusions, what to do, what not to, the meaning of life, all these questions eventually come from the same spiritual crisis that we face within. And whether we recognize it or not, there is that spiritual crisis in so many of us, unless we are really enlightened ones, which I'm sure very, very few of us are. So, Krishna directly talks about this spiritual problem. He says that if you are wise, then you don't really grieve over the living or the dead, because all this is illusory. It's not worthy of your grief. And then slowly we get to the heart of it. The heart of the spiritual message. Because then slowly we are led to the question of identity. Who we are. Are we this body or the mind or the soul? What would happen after death? Where do we come from? And what are we doing here in this world? When we address all these questions, then the kind of motivation we get in our daily lives, in our daily tasks, that's really, really powerful. And I think that's the message that the author is trying to present here, through all these Gita's teachings. Because it at times it sounds like we are unnecessarily complicating our daily life's problems and getting into this heavy spiritual or philosophical stuff. But trust me, once you work on the spiritual aspect of your life, the more practical aspects, the day-to-day concerns, the daily challenges, the mental health issues, the bodily issues, all these things become much more easier to deal with. And that's something we learn in the second chapter, that when we understand this philosophy, we understand this knowledge and pursue it, then the quality of our life, it improves significantly. But then the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita is that it's not showing you one way, it's giving you multiple paths, and then you can focus on different paths to pursue the same goal. And what's the goal? It's pretty much the same as you find in all Indian philosophical schools. It's the ultimate union with the divine. In other words, we call it as yoga. Yoga is, you know, it's not just about postures. In the more broader sense, it's the union with the divine. And in fact, each chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to different yogas. So now when we move on to the third chapter, I think this is where we get the most valuable lesson, the most practical lesson, I would say, which is truly valuable for today's times. It's about karma, the karma yoga, how you can pursue the path of selfless action, and that can also be a guide towards spirituality. You don't always have to philosophize things. You can just do your simple acts with dedication, without expecting rewards. And you can find tremendous value and profound meaning in it. I'm sure many of you would have heard this shloka that comes from the second chapter of the Gita. Karmane vadhikaraste mafaleshu kadachana. Which translates to that you have a right to perform your assigned duties, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your actions. And we find more practical applications and more explanations of it in the third chapter. What Krishna tells us here is that any task, anything that you're doing right now, listening to me, and maybe after this you'll get busy in something else, maybe your work at office or household chores. Krishna says that any task, if you perform it with sincerity and honesty, it is equivalent to the most elaborate of religious rituals. And I think that's really a profound message from the Gita. And that's something that takes it even beyond religion, even though we see it as a part of religion. But when you really see it, what Krishna here is suggesting, he's saying that there can be different paths to the divine union. One of them could be those religious rituals, the devotion. But that's not the only path. In fact, the things that you do every day, the simplest of tasks, they can be a source of spirituality. One of the most interesting and valuable ideas that come from this chapter I think it's when Krishna says that people who are ignorant and those who have not started their spiritual journey, they tend to perform their duties with an eye on the result. Whatever they are doing, they are constantly thinking about what they are going to achieve with that. And their service is not selfless. And even in charity, the idea is not to help somebody, but probably to gain reputation or some other hidden motive. But that's not how we should act. And that's not how wise people act. They perform their acts of kindness, not just for any personal gain. If you are going to help somebody who's in need, it's better to extend unconditional support. If you are going to do any project, anything that you're doing in your personal or professional life, it's good to plan ahead, but ultimately, you have to accept the fact that not all the results, they are not in your hand. And you have to let go of this feeling of attachment or control. Because if you're not doing that, you can't truly be free. And you can't truly feel the joy of simply being, of experiencing this life. The more you will try to control things, manipulate things, the more you will suffer, because you are directing all your energies in that direction. But you have an option. You can do any of these tasks with good intentions, positive attitude, and not thinking too much about the results. And that's when you start to enjoy the process. And that's when, in the middle of those simple acts, you find a feeling of spiritual freedom. At this point, you might be tempted to say that it's all well and good to say these things, but it's not really easy to not think of those material acquisitions, those possessions, the attachments that we have. Fair enough, that's a valid point. But you just have to think about it. No matter how many possessions, attachments, acquisitions that you have, they're never going to be enough. Never. And there comes a point in life when you have to acknowledge and accept the transient nature of all these possessions. In fact, you'll have to accept the transient nature of life itself. And that generally happens when you are too old and you've lived most of your life. And it doesn't have to be that way. You don't want to feel like when you are 70 or 80, you don't want to feel that all your life when you were doing something, you were doing your job, you were keeping an eye on something else, on the salary, on the possessions, the next investments, what's going to happen next, all those things. When truly what you were supposed to do in that moment is to just live and be there in that moment, doing your work, your task. And that's the point of it. Do what you have to and do it with sincerity. Do it with mindfulness. Be there in that moment. And you'll feel, you'll find and experience the sheer therapeutic value in it. So try it and let me know how it feels. Try it for a day at least. So that's it for today's episode. I'm leaving you here with a task, and the task is to enjoy and be mindful of whichever task you're doing for the next one day. And I'll come back with the next episode where I'll discuss the next few chapters. Till then, goodbye and have a good time. Thank you.